You're listening to Kapow, the pop culture podcast. Comics, television, movies, and more. If it impacts fan culture, we have something to say about it. And now, your hosts, Jordan, Cliff, and Seth.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Kapow, the Pop Culture Podcast. We're glad to have you. My name is Jordan Lowe.
Cliff Barnes.
I'm Seth.
What's up?
Going down.
Been a minute. Yeah. I had to stop in earlier tonight after work on my way home from work to check out Jordan's new store. It's all rearranged.
You were both in today.
Yeah. What'd you think?
I liked it. I told him I liked the little fancy little labels he put.
Those are exactly my favorite thing. That's what I said. I was like, I like these labels.
Yeah. I was like, that's pretty cool. The casual customer can come in and just find it immediately. Yeah. All the popular stuff. I like it.
Right. It's all the same crap I had, but now easier to find.
Now with more labels.
Yeah, I moved some shelving around, tweaked some displays, just generally upgraded a few items. And I'm happy with it. It's like stuff I've been wanting to do, or like, you know, I sit there in the afternoon, like imagining, okay, what if that was over there by this wall, or I go measure stuff. But so it's like stuff I've been piecing it together in my head for like a year, how right. I wanted it to finally happen.
It's like a heist. It's like planning a heist. Right. You had to wait till the store was closed on Sunday, drop through the ceiling tile and rearrange everything.
I can so relate to that. I'm all those years of retail. I used to just get bored. And just start moving my store around, you know, just like, let's see what I'll move this here and I'll move this over here and see what happens. And somehow it always comes together. So,
yeah. And I had planned and thought and measured and like made idea. And then like, I just started moving stuff like, wait a minute, maybe that would fit there. So like, it was pretty well planned, but then it was also just like, okay, that'll go there. That's fine. A couple of happy accidents and stuff just fit where I needed it to.
Yeah. Looks a little glow up to the organization there and everything. Looks good. I like it.
And I got a nice surprise. My shipment came in today for this week's books. I popped open Fantastic Four number 11. Oh. And it had a letter in it that I wrote. Letter to the editor. Fan letter.
Imagine that.
So the new series by Ryan North and Eben Coelho, Legacy number 704, for this volume is issue 11 with the Thing on the cover. Go check it out. I am in the back, giving it a glowing review.
Get that CGC, people. Get out there and grab your copy.
I'm out of the closet, guys. I am a Fantastic Four fan.
Yeah,
I never a thing to brag about, but
I never was. I read your letter. I was like, yeah, he knows what there is to like about it. Like I like those things that he's laying out there. I'm like, but they were just never my team.
I just find myself. Like if I'm gonna pick up some back issues or something, yeah, something I haven't read before. Like I just keep getting drawn to. There's more and more. Like, oh, that was a great series. Like the Marvel Knight series that Roberto Aguirre Sacasa wrote, the Riverdale guys. Like I've tried to find all those in the back issues. This is just a great series. I love the characters. Like they're not out fighting crime. They're not. They're barely superheroes. Like they're like adventurers. They're out to solve problems and discover things. And then they happen to, you know, the Mole Man gets in the way and they got to beat him up. But like, you know, in the big scheme of things, they're just there to help people. It's like, that's such a good warm thing. And them being a family, you know, every team, the X-Men or whoever, like people come, people go, but like, this is like the family you're stuck with. Like, you don't get to pick, you don't get to pick and choose with your family. These are the people you're with, ride or die, and you're going to be with them for the long haul. So like that angle with the adventurer side of things. I love these characters, and there's been so many good runs over the history that there's so much good stuff out there.
Yeah. Yeah. I got one of the questions. You know us.
You down with KPP?
Yeah, you know me.
What the hell is wrong with you people?
You know me.
What's wrong with you? What is wrong with you?
You know me.
I hate so much about the things that you choose to be.
You know me.
You don't know.
Why are you the way that you are?
Okay.
Okay.
We can, yeah, go for it.
I don't have an answer, but I got a question. What movie would you show to aliens to convince them we are worth letting live?
Wow.
Cliff,
oh, off the top of your head.
Cliff likes feel-good movie. Like this, I feel like it's got to be a feel-good movie.
Hmm.
Show us your movie.
I don't even... Gosh,
you
what
have
genre
2 hours to convince us.
Maybe something like, I don't know, like Wizard of Oz or something, you know.
Wow,
classic.
Blow their minds.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, the Wizard
Your
of Oz.
Your world is black and white. No, it's color.
We like the flying monkeys. Yeah, I don't know. What lesson does that teach you? What would they learn from watching the Wizard of Oz that they are like,
we have to teach them something?
Well, something that we're not just entertaining? It's a message. No, we're not just entertaining them. Where they go for a good movie. Otherwise, it'd just be, you know, they're not getting popcorn and going to Earth. Like, okay, we'll leave this theater open. No. Theaters are closing on Earth.
Oh, my goodness.
We need something to convince them that... we have something here worth saving here. Like, I mean, my go-to is always Point Break, and I don't even think that's going to work for this. We need something. Mm-hmm. We need something with a good message. It has to kind of tell a quintessential Earth story, like something, you know, what's good about this place.
So I'm leaning toward Planet of the Apes. We're like, even if you wipe us out, we're never going away. We're gonna stick around.
Wow, I don't know. See, they're gonna be like, well, yeah, I don't know what mess they're gonna be. Where are those? Why are the apes in cages? And
maybe Jaws.
Jaws.
Yeah, make them scared of sharks.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't want to stay on Earth. There's all these sharks around.
Yeah. It's Shark Week all the time here.
Don't come down here.
They'll just vaporize. They're going to get rid of us immediately. Oh, my gosh. I don't know. I don't even know if I have an answer.
Yeah.
Something.
Yeah, like so many of our stories, like our, you know, a war movie can be uplifting, but it's like, it's all about
Independence Day. Let's
or like, oh, I overcame some horrible illness, and that's a Brian song or something. It's like,
right.
Everything is like down in order to, you know, go back up. But, yeah, I don't know.
It was something to do with like being nice. So if I thought they could understand it, I'd show them Everything Everywhere All at Once. Like, look at this. Look, it's all about being kind. Well, we may fail at this one. You may learn nothing about us, except that we wouldn't know what to show the aliens.
We'd show them Big Trouble in Little China, and they would understand the importance of Kurt Russell to all humans. We could connect over the awesome.
Well, yeah, we should definitely push Kurt Russell to the front. Like, here, this is the best we got. Show them your Lincoln letter. All right, we blew it.
We tried. Well, speaking of aliens, or alien tech, or Alienware, I don't. I saw a movie.
Oh, okay. I was like, go 100 different ways with it.
Yeah, saw a movie.
Save Martha.
Puny god.
I'm just a kid from Brooklyn. I'm Batman.
Kneel before Zod.
Under roof.
Set it yourself, bitch. We're the guardians of the galaxy.
So what's it gonna be, huh? Long sullen silence or mean comment? Go on.
You got me in a box here.
Blue Beetle? Blue Beetle may be the last movie I see with my my Regal Unlimited pass.
Yeah, I didn't even make it. I saw my last movie with the pass.
Got a notification.
3 months are up.
Yeah, I think mine is September the 10th. I think is when it, you know, was set to
I was like a week ahead of you. They don't make it real super smooth to cancel either. They're like, okay, you gotta there's no button here. You gotta freaking email us or whatever and ask for request that they cancel and see if somebody gets back to you.
Wow. So
you might want to do it sooner than later.
Yeah. We found
they did answer me within it was like the next day. They're like, okay, sorry to hear that, but I haven't got to the day yet. We'll see if they actually cancel it.
Yeah. I'm a little disappointed. I kind of don't want to give it up in a way, just because I saw so many movies that, you know, I wouldn't have probably seen otherwise, but I don't know that there's really much coming out.
I think it went off without a hitch. It worked out perfect for me. I got to see all those summer movies that I wanted to see, and now I'm out.
Well, I'm almost out. So, but yeah, I saw Blue Beetle.
Yeah, I've heard good word of mouth from fans. I've heard maybe a little more mixed from regular critics, but I'll take your word for it. It sounds like it was a good time.
Yeah, I mean, I'll preface with I really like Blue Beetle. I like Jaime. I like his story. He's been in tons of stuff in the last, I don't know, 10 years or whatever, cartoons and animated movies and things like that. They've really tried to incorporate him because, you know, I'm sure it's a little bit of a diversity push, being a Latino character, but also just he's a teenager, so they're going to push him towards, you know, kids. So I definitely, you know, I know the character. I'm very familiar with the character. I've read some of the comics. I've watched him in a bunch of cartoons in the last few years, and they've all been pretty good. But of course, my sweet spot, you know, is that Booster Gold, Blue Beetle, Ted Kord era. And that's really, that's what I like. That's what I love. Those are, you know, the idea of getting to see some of that possibly is very exciting for me. So I didn't know what all, you know, how much of, or if anything was going to really reference a whole lot of that. But man, I was really surprised. There was a bunch of Ted references in there, and the story was cool in how they incorporated the two of them and Ted and Kord Industries. I really liked that. it was all, I thought, for a DC movie, I thought it was all pretty seamless. I mean, as far as the story went, it made sense. It connected in a way that, you know, was, you didn't really even think about, like, is this right or wrong? It worked. So
yeah, because unfairly it was hamstrung by all that other stuff of like, is this the last movie of the Snyderverse era? Is this the first movie of the James Gunn? Where does this fit? Is he coming? Yeah. Is the actor coming back for that? Like, that's the, you know, when you just sit down to watch a movie, you shouldn't have to worry about where does he fit in this corporate puzzle.
Yeah, but, I just want to watch a good movie. That's all I want. Yeah, so. Yeah.
So if it can get you over that hump of where you're not worried about that stuff or
right.
not too worried about it, at least.
So, I thought the cast was entertaining. I mean, they were funny. I labeled it as the Reyes family saves the DC movie universe. I mean, this movie was good enough to really to bounce off more projects off of, which I mean, that's what they should be doing. I don't know. That's kind of how it, there's some special, you know, extra credits at the end that certainly say, hey, we can very easily make another one of these and really take it to a cool place.
That poor guy.
Tell me The Rock showed up at the end.
That poor guy got to do this movie. Finally, this is his big coming out party. And because of the strike, they couldn't, well, he couldn't let go.
Couldn't promote it. Couldn't.
Yeah. Ugh. That's too bad.
That sucks. But yeah, I mean, this movie was so much better than The Flash. Oh my gosh. I like The Flash, but after seeing this movie, I was just like, whew, this is night and day. The effects were great. Has this cool vibe, this kind of neon, look to things, the graphics, the credits, and they use some cool, like almost 80s, synthesizer type music. I mean, it's a cool vibe, and just mix in a lot of comedy with George Lopez. I'm not the biggest George Lopez fan at all, but he was pretty funny in this. He was in it just enough that it wasn't obnoxious, but he played, you know, he had some plot points in there. Overall, really good super movie. Love the kid from Cobra Kai. Thought he was great to play Jaime. Good jokes. Great action. Looked very comic accurate. The suit.
Worried the suit, like, it looks so detailed and had so many little, I don't know, different colors, and like it just looked like so busy. I like an obviously clean uniform, and that one's so complicated, like I didn't know how it would look in action.
Well, it's a very, you know, this Blue Beetle hasn't been around very long, so the look even in the comics is very similar. It's very modern, very you know, non-traditional superhero look, and especially compared to Ted Kord's Blue Beetle. But they got the effects right. Like, the weapons he used are straight out of the comics. Him talking to the Scarab worked perfectly fine for me. I mean, it was maybe a little different voice in it, but the interactions were there well enough, you know, back and forth, learning with, you know, as they kind of become one, and arguing, you know, not to kill and use so much force and this and that. The only thing I didn't like, spoilers, the kind of big, the superhero villain in this, more or less, is OMAC. And which I, in the beginning, like the credits, I think it comes across OMAC on something. And I was like, oh, holy crap. I didn't even realize that. I was like, man, that's cool. And then thinking it's going to be straight out of the comics, it was a completely different version. They just kind of slapped the OMAC name on it, more or less, but it was fine. It didn't have a bad, you know, the suit didn't have a bad look, just wasn't right out of the comics. That was kind of the only thing not directly adapted. But other than that, yeah, I mean, I can admit some emotion. Like as soon as there was a scene where they're in Ted's abandoned house, right? They find his lair, all the Blue Beetle stuff. And Jaime has to go find some clothes. And he comes out in this like blue, multicolored tracksuit. And I was like, holy, I mean, it had Ted vibes and I was absolutely just loving it. So all the Ted stuff is great. Finding his weapons in the bug, and the bug is straight out of 1987. I mean, it looked amazing. It was so fun. I can't wait to see it again. It's up there for me in DC movies. Just in general, not just the recent ones. I mean, I think it's that good.
Wow.
Yeah, it's way, I mean, I think it's had some pretty, like Jordan said, it's had some pretty good reviews. And I think most people that, you know, are DC fans or somewhat, or at least not opposed to DC comics, have had that reaction. Like, this is a pretty fun movie. I enjoyed it. And I haven't really seen anything that negative or really, yeah, at all.
I don't know if that's been getting any of the review bombs or the boycotts that some other of these DC movies have gotten.
Yeah.
People really wanted to fail to prove them wrong or whatever. But
I'm blanking. Mm-hmm. Who's wanting them to fail? Who's
Snyder Bros.
I thought that I always associate them with DC.
But gotcha. I don't think most, they only like the Snyder stuff. Mm. That dark, gritty, not my favorite stuff. So
yeah,
this definitely is not that. I didn't feel in any way. It does feel, you know, a little closer to not a Marvel movie, but just a more DC feel that I would read, something I would read. So
I was thinking about that this week, the Night Terror stuff ended in the comics, which they just at the start of this year launched springtime, Dawn of DC, which is a new initiative, a lot of first issues, a lot of new storylines with new artists. And it was a concerted effort to like get back to that stuff. We just had the Dark Crisis. We just had Lazarus Planet where there's like magic had gone haywire. But like, this was like, let's get back to the brighter, more fun DC stuff.
Yeah.
The colorful superhero stuff. Let's bring back the Justice Society. Let's bring back some characters like Green Arrow and Hot Girl we haven't seen in a while. Doom Patrol. Like, this is the dawn of DC. And then within a couple months, they took a break and did this Nightmares book, where all the heroes, we learn their worst nightmares. And at the end of that, it like basically hinted, people aren't trusting the Justice League anymore. Like, you know, the Justice League can't be everywhere. So like humans are starting to, they have a very Marvel sort of thing. We're like, well, we can't really trust our heroes. I was like, I feel like the comic world and the movie world for DC are night and day. Like DC comic fans want bright, colorful fun.
Yeah.
They are Cliff.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, Snyder Bro movie fans want dark, gritty, serious, ultra dour stuff. Or at least that's what the executives think they want. So I don't know where that came from. We're like, let's take the brightest, most hopeful, loving heroes that have ever been created and make them dark and, you know, make them brood a lot. Right. So yeah, I'm glad if Blue Beetle is like a good, and that's, I've heard some of the Gunn's statements about Superman and how he, you know, should stand for hope and optimism. Like, that's my hope, is that we are going back toward that. But DC just can't help themselves. Anytime we get a glimmer of light and goodness, it's like, nah, let's make it darker, guys. It's like, ugh.
I hate that. I really do. So.
Well, I know if aliens came to Earth, I would show them the movie I saw last week because I couldn't think of another one to show them. Gran Turismo. A feel-good movie about going from sim racer to the track. You guys ever play Gran Turismo?
Nope.
That's too bad. That's my go-to. If you are a video gamer and you play racing sims or whatever, you're either Gran Turismo or Forza Horizon, which usually goes along with whether you're PlayStation or Xbox. But I was always PlayStation, always Gran Turismo for last million years. I remember them coming out 25 years ago with the first couple of those, and you know, they just got better and better. Loved Gran Turismo, and now it's on 7, I think I have, and it's just really great sim game. And I remember just a few years ago they had a contest, which is what this movie's about, they got these guys that were really good at the video game playing online or whatever to try to mold them into actual race car drivers, and had a little TV show about it, and it was cool. And that's what this is. It's about this guy that got to do that and go race, but it's very enjoyable. It was very enjoyable, but I was just laughing my butt off through the movie at some of the ridiculous performances. I don't know. David Harbour is in it as like the guy running the crew or whatever, running the drivers, you know, the driver coach or whatever. And he was just like, oh, some of the over the top stuff. Oh my gosh, why would you do this? You know, it's like, guys, it just comes off so cringy sometimes. But overall, I really liked it. I really dug the way they incorporated the game into the movie, like where he is like playing the game at home. They may try to make it look like he's on the road. Like they'll say from his perspective, they'll like, you know, use these effects to put like a real car around him and he's driving around the road, and like how immersed in it he is. And then they might do the exact opposite when he's on the track, take it away and may show how he just feels like he's doing the sim, even though he's really out there on the track, and a lot of stuff like that. The way that they would have like the number over the car as they're driving around the track, and or they'd have the lines, you know, the best lines to drive the track on appear on the track, and think just tons of nods to the game. It was a lot of fun in that respect, and it was just a feel good movie that I really enjoyed more than I thought I was going to enjoy it. So had helped to be a fan of the game, but I think anybody would like it. I think, you know, the aliens would get a lot out of it. I think they would say, you know, we could come down here and do this. We could race around this little road and win. Have a good time. What was really exciting was recognizing all the tracks. I've played all these tracks. I know what turns are coming up. That added a lot to it. So know what things they were having trouble with. I mean, they do they race the Le Mans 24 hour or whatever. I mean, you could do that in the game and like switch off with your buddy, hand them the controller back in the day and then let them drive for a while and, you know, do the 12 hour. And it's just a lot of fun to see that come to life on there. And then of course, at the end, they have the showing the real guy, how it went with him and stuff. And it's a fun time. I was glad to finish up my summer movie pass with Gran Turismo.
I'm sure the aliens last starfighter.
Yeah,
we're training to keep you.
To kill it. That's maybe I'll distract them with something else with the Gran Turismo. No, race these cars. Oh well,
I haven't seen anything. So. I drive by our old theater and see all the construction vehicles and piles of dirt.
I haven't even been over there. I don't even know. Man. I don't want to know what's going on. I don't go to that part of town anymore because they did that.
It's so depressing.
Yep. What about TV? Are we going to be watching anything?
You've just crossed over into the Twilight Zone. Sitting there with Woody, and I turn to him and I go, boy, these pretzels are making me thirsty.
Picture it, Sicily, 1939.
What are you talking about, Willis?
Won't you please, please won't you be my neighbor? Hey, neighbor.
Good afternoon, everybody. No!
I got one of the best shows. I forgot to mention this last time. One of the best shows is Winded Down, their last season. And I don't know if you guys ever even watched it. I know I brought it up a couple times. How To with John Wilson on HBO. So
yeah, good. I remember you talking about it, but
It's one of my faves. It's so good. I really like that guy, the way he does this show. It's just, he has collected tons of footage. You know, he can't possibly have collected it all himself. I don't know. Maybe he did, but it's just like, it's, you're unsure which, I really think he gets the footage first and then formulates what the episodes are going to be about by using all this archival footage he has collected of like just weird things. You know, he's really a people watcher. Like that's, he just watches the people in New York and gets, and the animals and every little thing, and just, and then narrates over it and tells you how to do something, how to find a public restroom, how to bird watch, how to do anything, and it, and uses all this stuff and tells his story of it's I love the delivery of like, so you'll go downtown to this, and it's, and then you might meet a guy that does this, and it's always exactly what happened to him, but he's telling it as if like this is what would happen to everybody. You see a guy and he'll tell you to fuck off, you know, but he's just so, he's so funny and odd himself. And it really, which I think this often, I was like, you kind of think like what you consider a normal person, 99% of the people in this world are not what you would consider a normal person. Like it's just amazing. Like you really, there are a lot of people out there and everybody's different. So it's amazing to see the world through this guy's eyes and see who all is trying to make it in New York City, just as a person, you know, trying to make it across the street that day, you know. But it's just a fun show. I'm really sad that it's winding down because it's very kind of has a Nathan For You vibe. But not exactly. It's not exactly that. It is its own thing. And I really love it. It's on HBO.
You guys hopped on season 2 of Winning Time yet?
Of what? Winning Time. Yeah, I'm caught up. Yeah. I like the show.
I'm one behind.
I really like the show, but I love it.
It's not quite what the first season was.
Yeah.
It's like, I get it. It's just more of the same every time is really my problem with it. Every episode, it's more of the same, you know, just I don't know how they, it was special the first season. Now it's kind of just going on. Just let Pat Riley run this team already. Come on.
I know. I keep, you know, keep waiting, but I haven't. Go ahead.
I was going to say some of that stuff that's like, I don't know the NBA well enough to know who won the championship, what seasons or whatever.
Right.
You know, it's new to me, but like there's some stuff that's like, It's called Moose, Pat. You should try it. Like, you know, introducing yeah. Pat Riley to hair mousse. Like, we need the origin of that. Come on.
I know. It's so. It's rough. Yeah. It's rough.
Yeah. I've enjoyed the bird magic stuff more than anything, but it's so
everything. It's unending. It's never ending.
Well,
it's like not you only, can't do yeah. the same thing every episode. Come on.
Yeah. But
everybody hates Jason Segel, you know. It's like, we get it. It's been going on every episode. It's like, you guys are making no headway. And I know they're just telling the story slowly. I like that character
so much as, you know, the professor. Like, he's
yeah.
It is very Shakespearean. Like, he's creating his own downfall where, like, he can't abide, you know, being looked over, or, like, he has to prove himself, like, to his own detriment. Like, he's torpedoing his own career because he's so, like, you will respect me, like, that kind of thing. Like,
yeah.
And he's doing a really good job. So I'm fascinated by that character. The On the Court stuff, not that yeah. interesting. But. Yeah.
There's a lot of fictionalized. A lot of wigs. Yeah, a lot of wigs. That's true. That could be, yeah. That could be the real name of the show. A lot of wigs. But yeah, a lot of it's outrageous stuff. So.
A lot of DC stuff on Max as well. We talked DC, the Superpowered documentary. Superpowered, mm-hmm. The DC story, 3-part documentary. It was pretty good.
I thought it was good, yeah.
Yeah, it was, again, it was produced by Warner Brothers, so it's not going to say anything bad about the company, but it didn't whitewash everything. You know, it mm-hmm. dealt with some of the good and the bad throughout the history. So, yeah, especially for a beginner, if you don't know a lot about the comics, like, it actually, you know, used a ton of footage from the movies because it's visual, but it focused on the comics more than the other entertainment, which kind of surprised me.
Yeah.
I finished Titans.
Oh, did you? Wow.
Got through all 4 seasons of that.
You should get okay. a pen or something.
Yeah.
Make yourself yeah. a label.
I'll pin it on. This 4th season I didn't love as much as the first couple. A lot of dream sequence stuff, a lot of stuff. They went to that town that was like in another dimension. Beast Boy was in the Reds. Like, half the season wasn't reality. Like, it was all a weird, you know, off, which always throws me off. But yeah, I don't know, it was fun. I like the characters. Again, it had to be very gritty. You know, it turns some of the most lighthearted, you know, Dick Grayson, yeah. Starfire, Beast Boy. These are some of the most lighthearted characters in comics, and they've all got darkness in their souls. It has, you know, the violence I can't contain, like that kind of thing. But it weaned off of that, you know, that from early on, there was a lot of that. So I got that season, like 2 and 3 were better, and then mm-hmm. 4 wasn't great. So
yeah, I never finished 4. Regret. I watched a few episodes, and I don't know. It was just, it got weird. Weirder. I actually liked the first half of that series. I liked a lot of that Hawk and Dove stuff they did, uh-huh. and kind of, you know, revisiting, showing the original Titans in flashbacks and that type of thing, and then where they were now and coming, you know, I liked all that stuff. But when it got into like that brother blood stuff, I was just like, yeah. I'm out.
Yeah, it wasn't, for being an HBO, well, I guess it didn't start on HBO, but being an HBO show, like, it wasn't too far above the CW as far as the costumes and the acting. Like, it was on par yeah. with all that stuff, but they could just say curse words and show a lot of blood and stuff. So.
Right.
There was the decent episode toward the end was basically a Beast Boy episode where I guess the actor helped co-write. Because he wanted, like, before the show ended, he wanted to explore his character more, and like he felt Beast Boy had more to give. So like, he's basically in the Red, that idea of like all animal consciousness. Yeah. And there was a couple fun cameos and things. So if you haven't seen it, that one's just a single episode is worth a watch. So I won't spoil what happened, but it was a fun one. And season 4 of Harley Quinn has returned. Which I was mm-hmm. not high on when it first started, but it has really won me over. I like it a lot. It's very funny. There's nothing sacred. They will do or say or kill anybody for a good joke. So I like that.
So, as far as HBO, you watching Hard Knocks, Cliff?
No.
Oh, again, best theme song in the biz. And I freaking hate Aaron Rodgers. Like, it is the biggest promo for Aaron Rodgers. Like, it is just clearly the Jets have final cut. It's just like a promo video. This worse than ever. Like, Hard Knocks has never been like this. Like, they would show some gritty behind the scenes. They wouldn't be afraid to make somebody not look great here or there, and they'd show people getting cut, and you got to see a lot of stuff. That is not this year.
That was the good part about Hard Knocks, right? Was watching all these unknowns trying to make a team, and like, then you got to know them a little bit, and then you're rooting for them. I don't.
Yeah.
In season 19 for Aaron Rodgers, who gives a crap? Like, I don't care about him at all.
Yeah, and I mean, he's very likable. He's trying to be, but he is definitely walking around like you could tell he gets his butt kissed 24 hours a day. And it's just it's so much. And he'll say something stupid and you're like, oh yeah, you're a freaking idiot. You know, you watch Joe Rogan, you know, just the comments he'll make here or there, you know, it's like,
the whole thing made no sense to me, why he ever wanted out of Green Bay. Like, dude, you were the cat's ass in Green Bay.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you would have went down, and he, to a degree, but Favre did the same thing, you know, like, you could have been an all-time great, a lifelong Packer, basically.
Oh, he's going to end the same way Favre did. Go out looking like a dummy. Right. And that's fine with me, because I don't. But anyway, it's still interesting to me, because they still show some of those people on the cusp. But it's really tough to, like, I mean, these are preseason games that they're revolving around. It's like, to some of these people in these games, it's like Aaron Rodgers playing in that last game. He doesn't even have to play in the preseason game. It's like, he's barely going to be in it. It's nothing to him. It's like, you're lucky I'm even in it. And to other guys, it's the most important game of their careers. Mm-hmm. They may never play again if they don't do good in this game. So it's such a huge difference in what these games mean to each player. It kind of makes it interesting. I don't know. It's still fun. I love that show. When a Hard Knocks comes on, it goes to the top of my list. There's something about that behind the scenes football stuff that is interesting to me. And it's the theme song. They play it a lot in the show. But the other HBO thing I was going to say, did you guys hear or see that show Telemarketers?
I've seen some ads but I haven't watched it yet.
No. Yeah, I think it's just three episodes that came out once a week. I think it's over now. But it was three episodes, pretty sure. And it was about the telemarketer, obviously, scam or whatever, but specifically the ones that call and want you to donate to families of fallen policemen or whatever. And they send you a sticker. They send you a sticker that you support the police or whatever to put on your thing, and how it's such a huge scam. And it's just totally exposed. It has these people that were telemarketers, you know, 20 years ago, and they have just tons of footage of them doing it, and just like their whole system of how they do it, how little, you know, how basically the company gets at least 90% of the money and 10% goes to the police. And they're just like, hey, you let us say that we're collecting this money for you and we'll send you a check. You know, but they're only, but you only get 10% of it. And then the police, basically the police unions eat up almost all of that, and no actual family of a fallen soldier gets basically anything. It's just like all corrupt, totally corrupt. And it's pretty interesting because there's a lot of these guys that do the telemarketing are almost all people that could not get a job anywhere else. They're all criminals and drug addicts and they're the ones doing this. So it was an interesting show. I thought it was pretty good. One thing that's interesting about it is like the guys that were telemarketers kind of turning around and want, they're heading this investigation to expose it and talking to politicians and things. And it's like they're the two walks of life coming together. These famous politicians having to deal with these criminals and drug addicts that did this and have to come together and try to figure this out is kind of interesting. Like just the different walks of life, you know, interacting is neat to see. It's 3 hours of your time, but I thought it was pretty good.
So it's a documentary or it's drama?
Yes. Documentary.
Okay.
Yes. But you know, if I was going to show the aliens anything, I would say, here's the live feeds of Big Brother. Here's what you need to watch. This is our leader, Sari. She will, she would take over and we would own whatever planet they had.
I don't know. I've kind of faded out for the last couple of weeks.
Yeah. It's pretty good stuff going on. Pretty crazy stuff. We got her son told his girlfriend that his mom's in the house. The girlfriend thought it was a different lady in the house was his mom. But Saria's decided to, she's not, her thing, it's too easy for her. Everybody in the house is like at her beck and call, but she's not, she doesn't still have like a lock on the game. And it's like she wants to play on super hard mode. So she makes some stupid mistakes here and there and has made it extremely difficult for herself. She finds holes to dig herself out of and keeps jumping at them. But I figure she'll still find some way to win the whole thing. It's pretty good. I'm enjoying it.
I just got sort of turned off. Like, I know reality television isn't real in any stretch, but like, the way you've said, like, you know, the network show they show you is so far from what's really happening in the house. And like, and not from, you know, a scandal point of like, you know, the guy who got kicked out of the house or whatever's happened. They don't want you to know, like the competition with the deaf guy is all about hearing through headphones. So like that stuff they're trying to whitewash, I get. But also like just the gameplay of it. I swear there's been three straight weeks of everybody in the house knows who's leaving. It's a unanimous vote. It's been decided days in advance. And every episode is like, wait a minute, they might try to vote the other person out. And it's like so obvious a feint of like, we got to try to make this dramatic. So like,
well, the thing is, it's real though. That really happened. They do honestly do plan on doing it, but days go by and it flip flop back and forth and back and forth that it's, they just don't, the producers do not want to take the time to tell the story they could be telling. Yeah, they're the lazy.
The nuance that's involved. Yeah.
So the fact that, you know, they're lazy when you see every vote voted on a unanimous vote. We don't need to see every person vote in this episode. There's so many things you could have showed. And it's just so, that's very annoying. So like I've always preached it, that the episodes are, you don't even really need to watch the episodes, especially since they quit even doing the competitions on them. You used to be able to count on watching the head of household comp on the live episode. Now it's always pushed to Sunday night. It's just like, I just watch the live feeds. There's good stuff there. See it happening as it's happening. I'm excited because
I saw a thing that was like, that made more sense why it's on Pluto. There's an article talking about, you know, how much money all these streaming channels are losing.
Yeah. It's because ads.
Netflix pioneered that of like, let's spend $1 billion. We'll make profits later. Like all these streamers are sinking huge amounts of money into stuff and have not been profitable. And that's, they're saying wow, like the old school method of giving to you free with ads is actually profitable. Who would have thunk? That's what TV's been for 100 years.
Now, what's so, that
like? That's
like?
Why Amazon is pushing the freebie, you know, half the stuff you see on Prime, watch it on freebie. And that's right. Why they're putting this big marquee show on Pluto, because I don't know, is Paramount Plus even making money? It might not be, but Pluto is, because they're selling ad space.
So yeah,
it makes more sense to me now.
Making a bundle that way. Now, the little bit you watch live feeds on Pluto, what does that look like? How much ads are there?
They'll go a stretch. It's not like every 5 minutes or anything. They'll go 10, 15 minutes or so, but then they kind of stagger them so you can flip to the other feed. So generally, it's not all commercial all the time.
So. Yeah. Well, they cut the feed so much anyway. I follow a feeds bot that every time the feeds come back on, it alerts me. So I'm not cut because, geez, they go off and on tons. Anyway, I'm excited because tomorrow I pre-ordered Baldur's Gate. Everybody's been playing Baldur's Gate on PC for the last month, but it comes out on PS5 this coming week, and I pre-ordered the deluxe edition, so I've got it all downloaded. I got to get it a few days early, so tomorrow I can finally start playing that. That's a D&D video game. It's supposed to be pretty awesome, so pretty psyched to play that.
Hmm.
Well, what we got left? We got one big thing left, right?
Yeah, the biggie from Disney Plus. And Dave Filoni.
My Filoni has a first name.
Star Wars! Nothing but Star Wars!
So Ahsoka is on our television. We've got 3 episodes so far. And I've realized this is not a show for me. They didn't take me into account, the casual Star Wars enjoyer. This is deep cut mythology. This is characters that were in hundreds of episodes of animated series that you probably should have caught up on, but I didn't heed that warning. So I'm enjoying it. I understand the basics. I get the characterizations, but I'm sure other people are getting a whole lot more out of it, or at least I hope they are.
So, well, how'd you feel about the space whales? Did you feel lost when there was
whales,
space?
Nothing but star whale. I remember that was it. What was that was on Nando, weren't there? We got some star whales back.
Yeah,
then,
there was. So. What are they, Purgle or something like that?
Yeah, Purgle. Yeah.
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 I don't know. I mean, my ears perked up a little bit when I first heard those space whale noises.
Yeah.
I was kind of anticipating it, kind of waiting around thinking, you know, at some point they got to show back up if we know Thrawn's coming. So.
Oh, they do a lot of telling us about Thrawn. It's like, is he coming, or are we going to wait till the end of the season before we actually see him, or are we going to see,
I hope not. I hope it doesn't take that long.
I bet it does. Like, we're not getting anywhere. Like, it's only 6 episodes. We're halfway through.
It's 8.
Oh, it is 8. Okay. Okay,
good. This third episode felt like very little happened. I'm like,
yeah.
Are we halfway done? I thought it was 6 as well, but I looked it up and it's 8.
Hmm.
Good.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I like Rosario Dawson's portrayal of Ahsoka.
Oh yeah, I think that the casting's great. Sabine is,
yeah,
perfect. Yeah. I mean, I think that they cast her perfect, and that I'm digging it. I did think this third episode slowed down a little bit and got a little silly here or there, but I really dug Sabine's introduction and the riding the, you know, doing the Tom speeder. Cruise out of town. Yeah. You know, what was I heard somebody had put Sabotage over that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that would have been awesome. But
yeah, I thought there was some really cool throwback stuff. in those episodes, you know, when she takes the knife out and
vibro knife,
and chops her hair off just like Kanan did in the show. And
yeah, well, she was always like, she kept her hair short for, you know, like tactical reasons and things. And then so when we see her at the beginning of this, she's got long hair. It's like, okay, she's in a different place, you know. Yeah. Now she's back. She's going back to the way she was.
She brought out that Mando armor. I was like, yeah, okay, here we go.
Yeah.
So
I just like Thrawn. I'm excited for Thrawn because he's that oddball villain that he likes art. He appreciates her art in particular. I'm
going to win my battles by learning about your culture.
Every time he was in Rebels and stuff, it was like, and he lost, you know, how the villain's always like, "Drat!" or "foiled again." He's always like, "It's okay. I learned this." You know, it's like, that's why I like Thrawn. He's never in a bad mood about it. He's always just like, "No, I've learned this and that, this, you know, so now I know," and that's why it was such, you know, it would reflect that after he has learned about them for a while. You know, they actually, I don't even remember what it was, but there was one point where they had totally fooled everybody but Thrawn because of this stuff he had learned. He's like, "Oh no, I recognize this one little piece of art, you know, and I know who, you know, that this was Sabine Wren," and da da da. And he's just like excited because all that pays off for him. He's the guy that's looking at the details and things, and he's like, "This is what he's doing, what he loves, being Thrawn." You know, it's like he's never like the, you know, he's never ticked off really. I like him, so I'm kind of
gotta say, yeah, they've definitely built this character up. Again, as someone who doesn't know what to expect from this guy, like, I'm expecting, like, oh boy, it's all coming down.
I hope it pays off. I hope it pays off. I that's the specialness of him, and you know, yeah. But like you said, you know, we don't, you know, people that coming into this that didn't watch Rebels, there's still a lot, like, we don't even know, and we don't know, you know, we're learning that Ahsoka trained or had tried to train Sabine, and she's not like, she's not a Jedi, she's not, you know,
she's a Mandalorian.
This whole thing about like who is a Jedi, well, you know, and that there's been so many quotes and things done in all these series and movies talking about, you know, how anybody can, you know, the Force is in all of us, right? And we all have midichlorians. We may only have one, or, you know, but it did kind of tick me off. Okay, in this last episode, there's said there, she's just like, Ahsoka's just giving her a little too much crap as far as like, here, you just focus and move this cup or whatever, and then she just does it. You know, Ahsoka does it. It's like, okay, well, you have a lot of midichlorians, and she's trying to rub two midichlorians together over here, and so she has. It's all about concentration. It's like where you to use the little bit you have. If you're just a normie, yeah, you know, it's going to require an enormous amount more effort than it is someone adept like Ahsoka.
It also touches in, you know, on those classic differences in, you know, talking about culture between the Jedi and the Mandalorians. You know, they were always up against each other.
Yeah.
And the Mandalorians are very, you know, rough and closed and always on guard, you know, with the Jedi who were more open and calm and less, you know, attack ragey, and so it's a neat thing. I could personally use a bit more chopper, and you know, the galaxy's most infamous war criminal. And we're still waiting on, you know, old Zeb Aurelius to show up and join the gang. So
yeah. Well, we got the whales. We got to there. So we're looking. That's how, you know, that whatever I think we mentioned before, the end of Rebels, you know, Ezra and Thrawn, this, you know, basically ride the space whales out of town.
Right.
And it's like, how?
The part's unknown.
What does that mean? Somebody, you know, it's like, are they far away, or are they in just a refraction of where we are? Are they in like a parallel universe? Or, yeah, you know, what is it? And what are they doing? What have they been doing?
There's a lot still to come. I mean, we know from the trailers and the previews, there's some world between world stuff.
Yeah.
In there, we have these two, this one guy that clearly was some sort of Jedi. And he's training the blonde girl, and what's going to happen with them. Yeah. We've got, you know, like you said, Ezra hasn't showed up either. We don't know what, you know, is he the last Inquisitor? Is he the guy with the mask? Well, probably not. But, you know, there's a lot of speculation going on there that, you know, who's that guy? So
yeah, I don't know. I haven't went that far. I do like David Tennant though. That's fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's good enough. Nice. Mm-hmm. It's good enough. I really loved Rebels, so I'm excited to see that. And like you said, the world between worlds is interesting to me, because we had the whole end of Clone Wars and then late in Rebels, and we've got to see that area, you know, that thing where you're borderline time travel now. You're like, right. Okay, we.
Yeah.
What can you change? What can't you change? That was the whole way that they explained what happened, you know, how Ahsoka, this character created after the prequels, you know, where was she? Mm-hmm. You know, if she was in the Clone Wars, where was she then? And they explained that in there, you know, with this.
Star Wars never lets that go to waste. You always explain everything.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, but it's interesting, but yet you can't do everything, you know. And we had Kanan and his whole story. And, well, yeah, if you try to change something there, does anybody live? And all the things that go along with that. So I did go back and watch a couple episodes of Rebels, and it's got me excited. But
yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I'm enjoying it. So,
are we gonna get Rex? I mean, we got they flash a clone trooper helmet in there in the intro.
Yeah, we got to get some old man Rex. You know, because old what's his name? Boba Fett. That actor is just about that age now. So
yeah, we got some Mon Mothma, who is she? I mean, Mon Mothma is not a corrupt character, but she wasn't very freaking helpful. And
this is the part I'm liking the most of this. Yeah. The politics, you know, the Senate can't approve this because there's bureaucracy, but like the rebels still gonna like. That feels very Star Wars to me.
The rebels go to rebels.
You like the Trade Federation,
right? I need to know where the trade routes are going to be drawn. the scrappy. You know, there's a bureaucracy that's not going to get things done, and then there's your scrappy heroes who are like that. Feels like that's pure sci-fi to me. I love that stuff.
Well, and she's like has her, we've got to see from Andor. You know, she has her own sort of personal. Mm. Politics involved with her family and her daughter, and who knows whether she can get too involved with helping anyone, because she may be unable to because of who she's made promises to and things like that. And it's kind of like, oh well, come on, you know. But then you know that they have to be doing the Federation or whatever, called the New Republic, is going to lose, so they can't be doing things right. Now, right. So they better be showing how they suck now, because they're gonna blow it.
Yeah,
yeah, and that idea of like rebuilding after the fall of the Empire, like, you know, all this, you know, we saw them recycling all the ships in the other show, and like,
yeah,
you know, half the people who work for us are former Imperials, and like that idea of like, okay, were they true believers who are undercover deep state operatives now, or were they just people just trying to get by and working for whoever's going to write them a paycheck? Like,
that's so funny. That makes reminds me, like, literally today, one of those Proud Boy guys got 10 years and big crocodile tears, all this stuff, all through court. And then as soon as the judge walked out of the room, he goes, "Trump won." I was like, yeah, it's one of them freaking Empire guys been hanging around pushing buttons.
That was the quote. How are they still loyal to the Empire? It's not loyalty, it's greed. Yeah, yeah, they still think they can get something from it.
Yep. Pardon.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, yeah, that is all interesting to me. I can't wait for more Andor, honestly. All that makes me think about is Andor.
That's what I like, and I like the characters despite not being real familiar with them. Like, I feel they're very accurate, almost too cartoony in how accurate they're being to the source material. I'm not loving the pacing of these first few episodes and the whole, like, gotta find a key to unlock a map, and the map finds a person. Like, that's exactly what we had to get Luke Skywalker with, and like, that just feels so, like, video gamey, like, step one, step two.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it just doesn't feel... I don't know, the story's not gelling so great with me. It's like, okay, on to the next episode.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, well, they're not wowing me, but I'm a given that I'm gonna be interested, because I've been waiting to see these characters again for a while.
Yeah, I was just super excited to see him in live action. Some of these that we hadn't seen before, and how that was going to work. Hasbro announced, because I've been collecting not all, but some of the retro collection, because I like the original vintage Kenner, like I have behind me here. And the retros look like the vintage Kenner. So I've been picking up like the Obi-Wan series. They did some. Mando's had two waves. I've been skipping the classic remakes of New Hope and Empire and Jedi.
Straight to the original for those, but stuff that
didn't exist back. Right. Now Jedi's got a Mon Mothma coming out in the retro series.
Never had that before.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to get that one. But the rest of them, you know, I'll probably pass on. But they announced, the Ahsoka collection coming out in the retro. So that was pretty exciting to me. So far we've only seen, I think, maybe four or six of the figures so far, but yeah, Ahsoka's a repack. I've got of a figure that I already have here from Mando, but the Chopper, the Hera, the Night Sister, and one of her droids, I think the assassin droid. So they look pretty cool. So I was excited to see that coming too. So, which leads me to, speaking of figures, my son and I went to PowerCon. We can end it with this, two weeks ago, I think 2 weekends ago, and, in Columbus, Ohio for the second year. And had a really good time. It was a really good show. Big show. Tons of stuff to look at, just like last year. Really just everything you can ever remember from your childhood, whether it be toys or accessories or alarm clocks or lunch boxes or posters or you name it. Somebody's probably got some version of it there. So that was really cool. Didn't buy a lot. I think I picked up some vintage Kenner, more or less beaters, but that's just what I collect. My figures don't have to be in pristine condition or anything like that. I like the ones that somebody played with. So picked up a few of those, bought my wife I found a Care Bears Christmas record, got for a couple dollars off a guy up there. So haven't listened to it yet, but we thought that I thought that was fun. Had a really cool album cover from the 80s. I think it was marked 85. And interesting thing, I was kind of off looking at some booths, and Cooper was a little bit ahead of me down the aisle, and it was getting about lunchtime. So I thought, man, where's he at? I'm ready to go, you know, get something. We'll walk over to North Market or something, get something to eat. And so I called him like, hey, where are you? He's like, oh, I'm standing in line at the McFarland Toys booth. And I was like, oh, for what? He goes, I don't know. Oh, so I was like, okay, I'll come over and find you, because I knew where that booth was. So I walked up there, and he's in this little line of maybe, I don't know, 20 people. And I'm like, what are you in line? I thought he was in line to get, you know, to buy something or whatever. He's like, I don't know. He's like, I was just talking to this guy, and he said if I stood here, they were giving out free toys. And I was like,
he said, hey, come to my van in the back.
I was like, that doesn't sound right. Like,
Cooper, did I teach you nothing?
So I was like, okay. I was like, well, I'm kind of getting hungry. I was like, but, you know, it's a little line. I was like, I'll stand here with you. So we stood in line there, and we were just talking to some people, and nobody was really saying anything about the line. We just kept moving up. And as we got towards the front, I see, you know, there's one guy that's basically like working all the, they've got a big pile of different figures and stuff. And there's another guy, he's got a deck of cards, and he's pulling people up in a group, like two or three or four or a family or something up there. And so we get up there with his other family, because it's just the two of us. And there was a family, like a mom and a dad and a little kid. So he pulls us all up there, and he's like, okay, I've got these cards here. Every card, you just pick one card out of the deck, and whatever is on that card, you get. And I was like, okay, that's awesome. And so the little kid picks first, and he picks out like a Flash from like the animated, the Timverse Flash, basically, right, of the McFarlane. So they hand him Flash. I was like, oh, that's awesome. That's pretty, you know, that's like probably a $25 toy or whatever. I was like, that's pretty cool. And the mom picks something. I don't even remember what she got. It wasn't anything too exciting. And then the dad picks out, and his card is a freaking Avatar Banshee, like you ride on the ride at Disney World. And they had one set up, and I was like, well, that's freaking awesome. This thing was massive. I was like, you get that for free? And like, he didn't even care. He didn't even know what it was. You know, he's like, you could tell they had no idea what Avatar was or anything. But Cooper and I were like, man, that thing's freaking awesome. So Cooper goes, and Cooper pulls a card and flips it over, and it's Necron from the Blackest Night series, right, McFarlane Toys. So he's like, well, he goes, oh, that's cool. He's like, that's one of my absolute favorite comic stories ever. He's like, I'll take that for free. And so then I go and I pull a card. And like, I don't even, I turn it over, and the guy looks at it. I don't even see what's on the card. And he grabs it. He goes, oh, we don't have that anymore. I was like, okay. He's like, pick another one. So I don't know what was on that card. So I pick another one, and it's a freaking, he's like, oh, it's Spawn. And I'm like, ugh. The one thing probably in their whole booth I did not like or care about is freaking Spawn. That's what I pull. So we go over there, and he's like, he hands Cooper his figure, and he's like, okay. He's like, well, I got a Ninja Spawn, or I got, I don't know, some other Spawn. And he's like, which one you want? And I was like, I literally don't care. He's like, well, take Ninja Spawn. So I was like, okay, fine. So then the other guy gets him, and they put him in a, I'm holding it up here, but McFarlane Toys bag here.
Spawn bag.
What's
it's
that?
It's got a Spawn bag.
Yeah, it's got Spawn on it.
Spawn face on it.
And it's inside of it, it's got my Spawn figure, and it's got, everybody gets this. It's a Black Adam from the movie The Rock.
Oh my God.
It's like a little wall hanging thing, like bronze rock head.
Congratulations. So, here's a tax write off from our business to you.
Exactly. I was like, who in the hell would ever want that?
We're writing this off as an advertising expense.
So,
but we don't have to bury them in the desert with the Funkos.
With the E.T. Atari games.
We'll see that sticking, the rock's head sticking up off your recycling outside.
Yeah. Yeah. So we each got one of those and yeah, so that was, those were our freebies, but I was like, well, that's cool. Mark McFarlane's just giving away toys. And apparently not very many people knew about it because the line was super short and nobody was paying any attention to
good Lord. Yeah. If you say free stuff in a building like that, it should have been a stampede.
Well, that's what I was telling Cooper. He's like, yeah, they're giving away free toys. That guy told me, and I'm like, no, they're not, because I literally said, if they were giving away free toys, this line would be all the way out the freaking door to down the block in Columbus. Everybody in the building would be in it. He's like, I don't know. So sure enough, he was right. So, but it was super fun. We did eat at the stopped over North Market for lunch. And then before we went home, we stopped over at Mikey's late night slice, like we always do, and got some really good pizza. And we had a really good time. It's always a fun show to go to. We saw Dan Larson from Secret Galaxy and Pixel Dan and Shardimus Prime and all those guys again.
Every time I hear those names, I don't know who these people are, but
they got great names.
Those names.
And then we went to the very last thing of the day. We went on Saturday, was the cosplay contest. We hadn't been to a panel because none of them really interested me. And I was like, well, before we go home, let's go over and check out the cosplay contest. So we sat through most of that, and Pixel Dan was the MC for that thing. And then we made one stop back over at the show floor.
You just seem to say Pixel Dan. Makes me and Jordan laugh every time.
this year, Pixel Dan had his own. He had his own exclusive figures there that he was.
I thought you were going to pull out a bust of Pixel Dan instead.
Man,
of
I wish I would rather have that.
You would put that in your house.
Stupid Dwayne Johnson.
Dwayne.
So before we left, we kind of skipped out at the end of the cosplay thing and we went and stopped. One more thing, I wanted to go back and hit a booth because this guy, I wish I don't have it here to hold, it's behind me, but he had this these prints he was doing of all the, not all, but a bunch of the 80s toy lines. So there, it would be like, and he had taken professional photographs of them and kind of made basically showing, like, if you were looking at a Sears Christmas catalog back in the 80s, you remember the toy pages, right?
I can't wait. I'm there right now, as you said.
Okay.
Boom. I'm cozied up on the end of the couch next to the lamp on the end table with my pen circling things page to page.
That's exactly what you did, what you just described. I would look at that thing for hours. And anyways, so he had basically made prints, I don't know, 18 by 11 or something, up of like the Ewoks, the indoor battle scene, and used all the original figures and the vehicles and made a diorama. And then at the bottom, he would list each thing that, you know, so you could like collect it or whatever. It was really a cool idea, and he had done that, and he was had a Kickstarter to turn it all into a book. It was like retro toy quest wish book or something like that. And
well, wish book, yeah, that's what they used to call
that, so I stopped and I did buy the Ewok. It was the very last print he had of the Ewok toys in the Battle of Endor. So I did buy that, brought that home with me. And then I got home and I kept thinking about it and kept looking at that. I was like, man, this thing is so cool. I really would love to have that book. And so I decided I was going to check out the Kickstarter. He had handed me a little, QR code for it. So went on there and decided, why not? I'll pay the I think $30 to back the Kickstarter, and it did get enough backers. So going to get that Wish Book Volume 1 here, I think, in the fall. So I'm pretty excited about that. He said he's got plans already to do maybe 2, 3, and 4 because, you know, 80s, 90s toy lines are endless. So pretty cool stuff.
Sweet.
Yes. I feel like as we leave, we should say something about Riverdale on a real episode.
Okay.
I'm sure there are people who don't listen to our Riverdale episodes, but like, it's over, you guys. It's all over.
Yeah.
We're dealing with it. We're behind. We still got a lot to watch and enjoy, but yeah. As a phenomenon, the show is over. A part of our pop culture history is riding off into the sunset. I don't know how I feel about that.
It's a big part of this podcast.
Yeah, the majority of this podcast. But like when that show premiered, a lot of people were talking about it. You remember Hot Topic, like half of Hot Topic was Riverdale stuff. And then within a year, like it was nobody talked about it ever. And yeah. Now all of a sudden, like, there's a whole bunch of articles. Like, what did Riverdale mean in the history of pop culture? And like, will there ever be a show like this again that runs over 100 episodes, you know, gets into, you know, this syndication numbers and runs this many seasons with this large of a cast? And like, no, they don't make TV like that anymore. We don't do 20 episode seasons. We do short little streaming mini series. So like, yeah, this could be. You know, this was a CW soap opera. There used to be a lot of those. That this could literally be the last one. So I don't know. It's a joke to us, but it's also like, yeah, something is different now. Like pop culture, when Riverdale started and right now is a different pop culture landscape. Netflix made that, you know, it premiered on CW to small numbers. Netflix is what made that show, but it didn't premiere as a streaming show. So I don't know. Like in this short little 7 seasons of goofy television, like a whole lot has changed in the world and in pop culture. So I don't want to say it's Riverdale's fault.
Yeah.
But maybe it is. I don't know.
Well, it is. It does feel like the kind of the last of those teenage soap operas, right? I mean, it very much in that 90210 tradition. You know, I used to watch 90210 back in the 90s. When, you know,
nothing gets your girlfriend more excited than, hey, well, let's watch an episode of 90210.
And I remember, you know, how ridiculous that show was, right? And knowing it was ridiculous, you say, back then.
Senior Archie getting you all hot and bothered, didn't he?
Yeah. So Brian Austin Green and his hammer pants, you know, I mean, like all that stuff, and this very much feels like it could be the last of that type of show.
But in a way, like we weren't maybe as sophisticated back then. We're like, we took it seriously. Like it was very goofy, but like today's audience would never take a show like that seriously. So Riverdale has to like up the craziness to a degree. Like we all know it's ridiculous. So like, I don't know how many people were watching that show with a real sense of like, will they, won't they, you know, drama kind of stuff. I'm sure there were some people, but like, I feel like the majority of the audience was in on the joke and wanted the elevated reality of it all. So that feels like it's right in time with the era.
What I've seen is I think there were a lot of closeted Riverdale fans out there. You know, we were clearly out of the closet about Riverdale, but there were a lot of people that weren't. They weren't talking about it. You know,
we are not walking around with ski masks on. We
yeah,
we took our shirts exposed. Off.
Yeah,
marched down Sketch Alley.
Hey, I now that it's officially over, now that the last episode is aired, I really do have a new reverence for the remaining episodes we have left. I don't know whether they're good or not. I don't know anything. I just know that there's a finite amount left. We got about probably 30 episodes left that I have not seen, and I'm going to savor them. I'm going to
Cliff Cliff has assured us they're the best they've ever been. So
it's I'm telling you right now, it's going to be a wild ride.
I'm so excited. Like for the next at least year, I'll be savoring those episodes. Yeah.
So this was the plan all along because we couldn't bear to see it end. So we just saved it.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And no. I know Cliff has said this, like his dream is for someone to discover the show in the future and watch it along with us. And
well, this is it, guys. We did it. We did it. We found it. Not only are we going to have the aliens watch Riverdale, we have a companion podcast. This Alien. Is what we want to show you. That this is why you do not want to kill us. Savor these episodes.
We don't put all of your corpses in jars of maple syrup, and we apologize for anyone that we did that to.
Right,
but we are not afraid to fight a bear.
Right? No. What would the how? Oh, they well, take one look at the Gargoyle King and GTFO.
Yes.
Oh, it felt good. I posted something on Facebook the last day it aired. And like one of my friends, like I watched the first season but dropped off of it. Should I keep watching it? It was like,
oh, I saw somebody comment and said that they couldn't get through the second season. I was like, the second season is my favorite.
That was the best season.
But I see that all the time, especially you know Facebook comments or Reddit pages or whatever of like, oh, the writers stopped caring about you know the writers really dropped the ball or the characters never. Got to this. It's like, nope, you weren't watching the same show.
They I never did any of that. It is all, it has been consistently, and it has in little microtransactions, it has added just a thin layer more craziness each season to, you know, to keep us. It's like if you got to have an extra cup of coffee after a while because it doesn't keep you up anymore. So we need just a little bit more each season to keep it crazy. They're so, doing,
yeah, I feel, again, now right. that it's now that it's over, now that it's a complete package, you can go back and approach it that way of knowing you know the mystery. You know, don't go into it trying to solve the mystery. Don't go into it trying to you know ship characters that you know we're gonna have a consistent character arc. No, it's not. That's not it. Like, just go in.
Let it wash over you.
Just open your mind to what's in store. And I feel like there's going to be a Riverdale Renaissance stuff. Like, this is going to be one of those shows. It's. I think it's going to survive. It's not going to disappear. I think people are going to keep discovering this show because it's timeless.
Oh yeah.
Rotary phones and reel-to-reel video like this. Yeah, it's literally. Not dated at all. Even some of the fashion, you know, some of Cheryl's dresses and stuff might, you know.
Right. Every once in a while, I see someone walking down the street and with a pig's heart, and I'm like, yep, they just started watching Riverdale.
Oh, so, yeah, I watched live the finale airing, and I will just say it totally paid off. It was a really good ending for the show, as much as I hate to see it end.
I'm sure it has to end with just it'll be probably the best jug dub ever.
Oh man. And you just don't know yet. But yeah, I had seen, I think the next day, a quote. I think it was I might have shared it with you guys, I think, but I think it was from like Vogue, an interview, Lily Reinhart, and I think maybe Cami Mendez, or they had a conversation with whoever wrote this article, you know, just about Riverdale and what it was. And they addressed, you know, people not understanding the show and the just madness, you know, that nothing mattered. It was just a whatever they wanted to do, and it was fun and silly and very much comic book inspired. And that's what it was. It was a comic book series.
Yeah, that got me thinking about that of like, each episode was like picking up a random issue. Maybe somebody different wrote it. Maybe it has nothing to do with another. Yeah. Like, it is that comic book logic of like, yeah, it loosely ties together, but the continuity from this series to that series, whatever, that's not important. Like, we get the base characters and then the rest is just the bones for you know a new adventure every time.
And I feel like we were writing the little notes, you know, see chapter 72 for whatever reference, in episode chapter 121, or you know everything. Oh, it was a wild ride. I can't wait to finish it. And
so if you're a diehard KPP listener, you know that we do these deep dives into Riverdale, have specific episodes just for that show, but we don't often mention it on these other or mainstream episodes. So just felt it was important to mark the occasion for a show that's meant an awful lot to us, and we hope to you. Come back soon for one of those Riverdale recap episodes. We'll have one shortly. Till then, my name's Jordan Lee.
Cliff Barnes.
I'm Seth. Bye forever.
Kapow, the Pop Cultured Podcast, is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. Sounds, music, and clips played during the podcast are property of copyright holders. All original content is property of www.udamwithkpp.com. If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe and leave a comment. Kapow, the Pop Cultured Podcast, can be found on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Podbean, Spotify, and wherever podcasts can be found. You can connect with us through social media on Facebook, YouTube, at The Kapow Podcast on Twitter, or email the show, Kapow, the Pop Cultured Podcast, at gmail.com. If you really want to go the extra mile, join our Patreon at patreon.com/UDamnWithKPP for special content and access to Patreon-only benefits. We are grateful for anyone who chooses to contribute, but please know that most of our content will remain free. So please continue to like, comment, and share.